us at mosaicprovo.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, Mosaic Church. Thank you, David and Hannah, for leading us in worship this morning. If we haven't met, my name's Alan. I'm one of the pastors here at Mosaic, and you don't have to look too far across the room to know that we are at the tail end of spring break, but I know that we have a few new faces here, so I'd love to meet you before you leave today. So glad that you're here with us to worship and to hear the word proclaimed. Back in September of 2023, which was about 18 months ago, if anyone is keeping count, we began our sermon series of walking through the book of Hebrews, and we will finally close out this series next Sunday, just in time for Easter Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection the following week. It's been such a great time in the book of Hebrews. I've grown to love the book of Hebrews more after studying and even after sitting under the preached word of Hebrews. It's been such a great, theologically rich book that we will close out just a couple of weeks. It's been quite the journey through these 13 chapters of the book of Hebrews, and all throughout this book, our title even suggests this, but all throughout this book, we have been able to see that Jesus is the true and better. Just to recap very briefly, if you don't know or haven't been here through this series, the author of the book of Hebrews is writing this letter. We don't necessarily know who the author is. He doesn't name themselves or himself, but the author of Hebrews is writing this letter to those who were once likely Jewish, but have now come to saving faith in Jesus. And as a result of their faith in Jesus and loyalty to King Jesus, they are enduring severe Roman persecution of Christians that is really ramping up at this time in history. Nearly the entire book of Hebrews is pointing us back to the Old Testament, and by doing so, the author of this book is showing us how the Old Testament and how the Old Testament law points us to Jesus as being the perfect fulfillment of it. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been in chapter 13, the final chapter of the book of Hebrews, and this morning is the second to last sermon in this series, and we're going to be in verse 17 through verse 19. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 through verse 19. I want to invite you to get a Bible. We have some available here for you if you don't have one. You're also welcome to take that Bible home with you for free if you need one. So feel free to take that, use that, read it, bring it back here with you. We are a church that is foundationed on the Bible, which is God's perfect and authoritative word. So I encourage you, have the word opened up as we walk through some of these final verses of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 17, verse 17 through verse 19 says this: "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon." Let's pray. Well, God, we thank you so much that we are able to gather in this place, and we gather in worship, praising you, King Jesus, and for what you did on the cross. May we continually be in adoration of it. And Lord, now as we gather around your word, your perfect word, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, God. Teach us, convict us, encourage us, and in all of these things, may our focus be on Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Troy preached a great message through Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 through verse 16, which highlighted some of the aspects of the old temple sacrifice. Essentially, what the author had did in this passage that Troy had preached last week was kind of take us back and point us back to some other areas and chapters within the book of Hebrews dealing with temple sacrifice. And in this passage last week, we were clearly pointed to Jesus, the perfect one who was sacrificed for our sin, and because of his finished work on the cross, and because he freely gives us salvation by faith in him alone, our response simply is to be a sacrifice of praise, which verse 15 states. And now as we move on into this next section of Hebrews chapter 13, here in verse 17 through verse 19, the author of Hebrews writes very briefly, this is a short passage, just three verses, he writes very briefly on the topic of church leadership and gives this church to whom he is writing to a command of practical wisdom, Before we jump into this, I have just a quick little fact, kind of a side note, rather, about an article that was written in 2018. An article from 2018, it was stated that at that time, the average length of service for a pastor serving within Protestant churches was down to about 4 years. Okay, this was 2018. A pastor would come to a church, a ministry leader would come to a church, and the average length of the time in which they were there was about 4 years. Now, that was 2018. Now, for us here at Mosaic Church, we're a little unique, okay, as it relates to this, because we're still very much a young church plant. We're not quite self-sustaining. We're not an established church quite yet. But to put this into perspective, for us, based on this specific four-year trend, if it became a reality here at Mosaic, it would have implied that myself, Pastor David, and Pastor Troy would have been very likely to leave or would have left our roles here at Mosaic Church sometime in mid to late 2024, which was our four-year marker of being here at Mosaic. And if this trend continued, or if this trend became a reality, it would also imply or suggest that Pastor Jordan is likely to leave Mosaic Church sometime in or around the year 2028. Okay, that's that just for you to help you understand kind of this four-year trend. That's what it would look like if it became a reality here. Now, don't worry, none of us are planning to leave, nor do we believe that the Lord is actively calling each of us to another church or to another ministry position. But the reason I bring this up, and as it relates to our text, is that there can be many different reasons for this kind of short-lived and somewhat high turnover rate for pastors and for ministry leaders. Now, I'm not saying that if a pastor comes to a church or a ministry leader goes to a church and serves for 4 years or less that he somehow was selfish and did something wrong, but sometimes the Lord can call somebody to a church for a short amount of time. But there are many reasons for really the short-livedness of this, one of which pastors and ministry leaders can burn out. They often carry burdens that the covenant partners or the members of a local church couldn't imagine carrying or dealing with. Often working long hours, many weeks that are well in excess of 40 hours, early mornings and late nights working to lead the church and to shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to them. And without guardrails or without discipline, pastors and ministry leaders can very easily burn out. This is one of the big reasons for ministry at one church being short-lived for a pastor or ministry leader. They just simply burn out. They get tired. They get weary. Now, it can also be said that some pastors or ministry leaders leave due to a lack of contentment or other personal desires that aren't necessarily honoring to the Lord. But so often so, pastors and leaders, they leave a church simply because of how they are treated by their people, how they're treated by those who they seek to shepherd and to lead. They're lonely. They're not paid nearly enough. They handle all of the complaints but hardly ever receive any encouragement. Pastoral and ministry leadership within a local church can be isolating, and it's even harder when it seems like everyone and everything is against you. Now, before we really jump into this passage, into these three verses, please don't hear something that I am not saying. I am not at all saying that any covenant partner here of Mosaic Church today has intentionally treated us, any of us pastors, poorly, especially to the point where we would just want to up and leave our role at Mosaic Church. And in fact, I know that I can not only speak for myself, but I can also speak for Pastor David and Pastor Troy and Pastor Jordan, that we love the covenant partners of Mosaic Church. Yes, there can be difficult days, but we love being able to shepherd you, and we love and genuinely enjoy leading in planting this church. You as the covenant partners, if you're a covenant partner here today, you've treated us extremely well in our hope and our prayers that we would lead you, that we would shepherd you for your good and for God's glory, and that in all of this, in all of this thing, that we would point you to Jesus, the true and better good shepherd. I'll just jump into verse 17. Verse 17 again says this: have confidence in your leaders, or your translation or version may say, or obey your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. As the author brings up the topic of submission towards leadership or obeying your leaders, we can assume and we can even see here at the end of Hebrews the importance of being part of a local church. The church, a local church, is a group of born-again, baptized believers who commit themselves to one another, and in that, they have pastoral leaders who God has called and who they, the church, confirms to the role and to the position. And this position, the pastoral position, rather, is the spiritual authority within the church. We're told here in verse 17 that we, the members, the covenant partners of a local church, are to have confidence in our leaders. We're to have confidence in our leaders. We're to obey or to submit to their authority. Now listen, I want to say this next part very clearly. I don't want you to hear something that I'm not saying. The submission or the obedience factor that the author is writing about here does not imply obedience or submission to abusive or manipulative leadership. The sad reality is that there are so many so-called pastors and so-called ministry leaders who abuse their power and they abuse their position. And in doing so, they hurt the flock. They hurt the people, the church that God has entrusted to him. If there has ever been a church leader or pastor in your life that has tried to manipulate you or has attempted to misinterpret or to use God's word in an unworthy manner that would seek to benefit themselves, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that happened to you. This is wicked in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord will deal with them. In James chapter 3, verse 1, on the topic of leadership, specifically the teaching ministry of the church and of leaders, James chapter 3, verse 1 says this: not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Those who teach will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ with greater strictness. Those who lead, those who teach, those who preach God's word will have to stand before the Lord at the end of their life for just a little bit longer to give an account of their leadership, and they will be judged with greater strictness. In Ezekiel chapter 34, this is a passage that I know that we've referenced a few times as we've gone through the book of Hebrews together. In Ezekiel chapter 34, here the Lord is speaking against the wicked shepherds of Israel. And he says this in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 7 through verse 10. It says, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts," talking about God's people, his people, "since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." Verse 10, "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from the mouths so that they may not be food for them." Fast forward in the same chapter, just a few verses in Ezekiel 34, we read about how the Lord himself will seek out his people. Ezekiel 34, verse 15 and verse 16. "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." God will bring about his perfect and holy justice to those who abuse the sheep, to those who mistreat the sheep. This Old Testament passage points us to Jesus, the true and better shepherd. John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." This is Jesus talking here. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In that same chapter, John chapter 10, verse 14 and 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Jesus is the true and better shepherd. Jesus is the true and better pastor and true and better ministry leader. But until he returns, if pastors, speaking in context of the local church, if pastors and if ministry leaders are to lead and to shepherd in Christ's likeness, they must know the sheep, meaning that they must know the people in their church to whom they are ministering to. Pastors and ministry leaders don't get to sit in an ivory tower and call those who are part of their church up to them, but rather they must make the effort to go and to be with their people, to have a pulse on where the people at are in their lives, where are the people at in their life who are part of their church, to know their people, to love their people, to know, truly know the church in which they serve. Back to our passage in Hebrews chapter 13, the kind of leader, the kind of pastor that we are charged with obeying and charged with having confidence in are those who are servant leader shepherds. Servant leader shepherds who obey Christ. And those servant leader shepherds who point us to Christ, who again is the true and better shepherd. This kind of good and faithful leader and pastor is worthy of obeying and submitting to, because here in the middle part of verse 17, Hebrews chapter 13, says that they keep watch over you as one who must give an account. Now, this is a selfless act of service. There is not much in it for the leader here that the author of Hebrews is mentioning. There's not a whole lot of return here. But he labors in love. This is a selfless act of service that is done out of love for the sheep, out of love for the local church. A pastor is a shepherd, one who keeps watch over your life, one who faithfully studies God's word and feeds you God's word, one who prays for you, one who isn't afraid to call you out when you're in sin. This is loving for a leader to call you out when you're in sin and to help you get back on the right path. One who seeks to be there for you when you experience the ups and downs of life. This is the kind of pastor, this is the kind of ministry leader that we are charged with obeying and having confidence in. One who loves the people of his church. And this is the kind of pastor or pastors that we, the pastors of Mosaic Church, strive to be. And yes, even when we mess up, even when you may not agree with every decision that's made, even when we drop the ball, our hope and our goal is that your complete hope, that your complete trust wouldn't be in us at the end of the day, but that it would be in Jesus, that your hope and trust would be completely in Him, because He's never going to let you down. He's the one that loves you more than we ever could. But until He returns, our desire is to be this type of leader that is worthy of submission to, that is worthy of obeying, that is worthy of your confidence. As we move on, we come to the third and final part of verse 17 here in Hebrews chapter 13. It says this, "Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." He's talking to the church here. That would be of no benefit to you if they have to labor out of a burden, not out of joy. A leadership is tough, and it can especially be tough within the church. A leadership in the world, I'm not saying it's easy, but especially within the church, you have this deep love and this deep personal connection to those to whom you are leading. Steve Jobs, one of the founders of Apple, once said that if you want to make everyone happy, don't be a leader. Sell ice cream. Leadership and leading people is a difficult task, and it's even more it's a more difficult undertaking when those who the leadership is trying to lead lack any sense of obedience and confidence in their leadership. If the leaders, if the pastors of a local church are laboring, leading, and serving in love, it will be a great advantage to the overall church body when they are able to do this with great joy. Because you're going to pick up on it eventually or over time. Remember that trend that I talked about just a few minutes ago, that four-year trend? I personally believe that kind of short-lived ministry leadership at one position or one church is due to a lack of burden, that the leaders become so burdened, they're not able to actually labor and lead out of joy, that they just cave in and they decide to go somewhere else. Leadership is difficult. There is no doubt about it, but if the leaders are laboring, leading, serving in love, it's going to be a great advantage to the overall church when they're able to do so in joy. Church growth, spiritual growth within the church is able to flourish when the leaders are fulfilling their God-given calling and their God-given role in joy and out of joy. The opposite of joy is burden. And we're instructed here in Hebrews 13 to submit to and to have confidence in our leaders because they lovingly shepherd and they give themselves to us. And it will be for our own soul's advantage when they are able to do this joyfully. Now listen, it's kind of weird being a pastor, ministry leader preaching on this topic, okay? Let's just clear the air of that. But I'm one of the pastors of Mosaic Church, okay? But before I'm a pastor and before I'm a ministry leader, I'm a covenant partner. I'm a covenant partner first. Meaning that I myself am not without a pastor. I have a pastor. I joyfully submit myself to Pastor David and Pastor Troy and Pastor Jordan as my pastor, as one of my pastors. And their work and their position of leadership that God has called them to will be a joy, and it will be a benefit to me personally if I have genuine confidence in their leadership and in their shepherding of my own soul. They're able to do that joyfully because I have confidence in them. I seek not to be a burden to them, though Pastor David may say differently. Right? I say no a lot, right? I can't even, not even an eye shot of you. Verse 18 and 19. As we close this out, the author of Hebrews writes this. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. For the first time in this book, really for the first time, the unknown to us author gets personal. I know when I read this, you don't really get to get a glimpse inside to the personal authorship of the book of Hebrews, but for the first time, the unknown to us author gets personal. And they do so by asking those who are receiving this letter for the very first time, this letter of Hebrews, to pray for him and to pray for the other church leaders. Pray for us. The pastors, the leaders of this church here in Hebrews desire to lead with a clear conscience, and they desire to lead and to live honorably and to honor the Lord in their work. They desire that above all things, God would be honored as they lead, as they pastor, as they shepherd. And in order for them to do this most effectively, they need the prayers of their people. Church unity is really, this is the glue to it all, is prayer. They need the prayers of their people. They need those who they are leading. They need those who they are shepherding to not only support them and to have confidence in them and to obey them, but most importantly, to pray for them. Pray for them. Come before God on their behalf because they need you. We need you to pray for us. If you are a covenant partner of Mosaic Church, know that your pastors, myself, and David, Troy, and Jordan, we need you to pray for us. Prayer, which is coming before the Lord, asking the Lord to do what only He can do, ultimately protects the church and drives the ministry of the church forward. Pray that we, as your leaders, would personally love the Lord above all things. And that He, the same thing that the author of Hebrews asks for prayer for, that the Lord would be honored in our leadership. Pray that we would follow the Lord's direction for our personal lives and for Mosaic Church. And that we would not have the desire to lead in our own direction or out of our own desires. Those are just a few things, a few points of prayer. Pray for us in that. Before the author gives the final benediction to this letter, which we're going to see this next week. Next week's going to be a good week as we look at the entirety of the book of Hebrews and as we read the benediction, the final few verses of this book. He writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit two very simple yet foundational aspects of a healthy and unified church here in just these three verses that we've covered this morning. And those two things, those two foundational aspects here are obedience, or confidence, and prayer. Obedience and prayer. Obedience to and confidence in the faithful pastors and ministry leaders. And prayer. Praying, coming to God on behalf of those who are in leadership. This is not only for the leaders. Of course, you're asking the Lord to do what only He could do in and through the leadership, but this is also for your own heart, too. This is also a softening of your own heart. God, give me confidence in my leaders. May they lead in love and in selflessness, and may I be one who submits to them and allows them to work and to labor in joy and not to be a burden. These two foundational aspects, obedience to and confidence in prayer. Prayer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and starting right out in chapter 1, he writes about how despite adversity in his ministry and in the ministry that those who he has labored alongside, that true comfort is found in the Lord. And he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 and verse 11. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. Paul has seen the Lord deliver, and he's confident that he knows that the Lord will deliver them again from adversity and hardship. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him, on Christ, we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. And in verse 11, he writes to this church, as you help us by your prayers. As you help us. Our confidence is in Christ, the true and better. We know that He will deliver. We've seen Him deliver before. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. There is power in prayer. There is power in prayer. Why? Not because we are somehow clever. Not because we are somehow crafty in our prayer. But because God is powerful. And because God is faithful, and God is faithful to answer those prayers that are in His and of His will. When you pray, if you're in Christ, having been saved by faith in Him alone, you are able to pray and come before the throne of God with great confidence, knowing that God has been faithful and is today faithful. He was faithful yesterday, He's faithful today, and He will be faithful tomorrow and for all of eternity. You are able to pray knowing that God is faithful. And all we have to do, if you're struggling to see the faithfulness of God right now, if you're struggling just in a difficult season and you're having trouble seeing the faithfulness of God, all we have to do is look to the cross and look to Jesus to see His perfect and great faithfulness. Jesus, the faithful one, the ultimate shepherd king, shepherd ministry leader, and it is this shepherd king who we submit to, obey, and who we find our lasting hope and joy in. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for the church. Lord, it is such a joy and blessing to be able to gather together, to fellowship with one another, to worship you with one another, and to hear your word proclaimed. And Lord, as we talk about leadership and as your word instructs us on how to interact with and how to have confidence in leadership, Lord, may we be all the more pointed to Jesus, because you, Lord Jesus, will never let us down, will never fail us, you will never leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. Lord, for any who are here this morning who have struggled with leadership or church leadership in any way, God, I pray that they would not have their focus totally on the leadership here today, but Lord, that their focus would be upon you, Lord, as the true and better leader, true and better shepherd, the true and better pastor. And God, it's you and you alone that we submit ourselves to this morning. If there's anyone here who does not know you, who has not given themselves to you, who's not turned over their life to you, God, would this morning be that morning? They see you for who you are, a loving Savior King who died on a cross. Lord, as it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.